And as we look to the Lord, perhaps you could turn to Matthew chapter 28, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 28. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, we open thy word, thy love letter to us, that we might understand, that you might serve up to us that which could be, that which would be for our benefit. God, you take the wonderful truth of thy word that points to the wonderful truth that thou art our God, the true God, the only God, and that in honoring you, God, that we would understand the better and exercise your presence in a much more helpful way that benefits us and pleases you, and our God will thank you. So help us, here we are, and we'll thank you very, very much in Christ's name. Amen. And in the Gospel of Matthew, if I can, Gospel of Matthew, and as you come to the end, God gives the wonderful, wonderful words of us, what we're doing on planet Earth. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, authority, the right and the might, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, placing them, immersing them into the wonderful truth in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things that I have, whatsoever I have said, commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God wants us to understand in a most wonderful way a relationship to himself, and Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So now, keeping in mind, if you would, those basic things. When we think of the word G-O-D, how much does that be? How big a word is that that you understand? So God has to help us understand the meaning of that word, God. So therefore you would note in that God, the God in his word, he helps us understand Deuteronomy 6 and 4 and all of that. The Lord thy God is one Lord. So here we are, God. You're a wonderful person. We are one in nature, essence, being, one. And yet in that one, you are the Father, and you're the Son, and you're the Holy Spirit. You're one God, always just one. And yet, three, as it were, distinct identities. You're the Father, and you're the Son, and you're the Holy Ghost, in one essence, never separated, never divided, always essentially and forever one in your uniqueness. So, how are we to understand God? You're not like us, no. But we're made in your image and likeness to know you. That's true. Now, keeping that in mind, so God, how are we to understand your awesome person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? What are we to understand? You're the Creator, and you're the Savior. You're the only one to create anything to begin. And you're the only one that saves. How are we to recognize and relate to your person? We're to know you in a special way. We're to know you as our Father. We're to know and understand you're the Father. You're the source of everything. everything comes out of and from your awesome person. So therefore, keeping that together and keeping that before you in your mind, God's awesome. He's different, wonderfully different, and he's God. And all of creation, with the trillions of galaxies, are just a little blip in the middle of his person. Everywhere God, everything is in God, keeping that in mind. Now, and having said that, now, so therefore, what else do we want to understand a little bit? Over to Matthew, and in chapter 10. And just reminding ourselves, remember, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, Exodus 20, with all your heart, etc. So now, picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 10, and just making a distinction so you see it. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. For a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, we are all born from Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20 and 21. In Adam, we all came from Adam. Romans 5 and 12 and that. Death comes from where? Adam. Adam and Eve died, sinned. They died. Out of Adam comes Eve. Out of Eve, Adam and Eve came us. We're all in the line of Adam. Adam causes us, brought us forth into the world humanly to understand that we're humans, we're born on planet Earth because of Adam. Adam brought us into the world separated from God, dead in sins. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that's what Adam did. And all of us humans, came from a father. There's not one of us that didn't come from a father. That's where we came from, God the Father, in a most wonderful way. That's where we are. So everyone has a father. You have to have a father. You have to have a father, mother, boy, girl, man, woman. You have to have a father. But all our fathers brought us forth into the world dead in sins. That is, we needed to be saved. So now, keeping that in mind, so God is trying to make it very clear, chapter 10, verse 34, etc., you cannot love father and mother more than me. I'm the creator. I'm the one that gave you life. And remember looking at all those wonderful scriptures that say it page after page. Mother and father give you a human body. I give you life. I create your soul and your spirit. You didn't do that. Parents don't do that. I don't make people. God makes people. I can make a body, be a source of a body, but I cannot make a body. I cannot make a soul. God makes the soul in a most wonderful way. And as you read Psalm 102 and all of the different possessions, I am the source of all that are to be created. That's the same word as in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. I'm the source of all that are going to come into the world. I'm the creator. I, the soul and the spirit, belong to God. God makes them. All souls are accountable to God in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful way, so we need to understand there's a difference. Us fathers are just us, and we came from humans. That's right. And we were born. We have what we have, and even we do what we do on planet Earth in these human bodies. But the Father is God. God is the Father in a most wonderful, wonderful way. No one else is the Father. And how are we to understand you, God? You want to know the eternal, infinite God as Father. He's the creator. He's the source. He's the begetter of all that are born. He is the source of that. So now, keeping that in mind and having that before you, therefore, in the presence of God and God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's going to go, and he is the Father. And the Father is the source of our being saved. What are we going to do? God saves us. Christ died on the cross to save us. Now, why did Christ die on the cross to save us? Over to John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up if I can. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross. That's true. Now, in the process of that, God, now why did the Son die? Over to chapter 6, if I can, sliding down to verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man has seen, the Father. No one saw the Father, save except he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. God sent the Son. What are we doing when Christ died on the cross? We're to look to Christ to find the Father. We're to look to God in Christ to find the Father. The Father sent the Son to help us understand God's awesome, infinite, eternal person. How are we to understand him? He's the Father. The Father sent God the Son. God, how are we to know God? Do we talk to you? Father, Son, Spirit of God? All, yes, all are true. But in particular, we're to identify you in a relationship. You want God like in the Greeks and the Romans and all of that had. The gods there and the gods create us and threw us out and then they do what they do. No, God is the creator. He made it so that we would have a unique personal relationship to God in a very personal way. How are we to know you, God, as Father? You're to know me as a father. That's different. I want you to know me as the Father. That's what I want. To understand that, Father, that's a very close, awesome, personal word, as we shared in Sunday school. Close, direct. Our direct personal contact is to be with God. Very personal, very personal, close. He's my Father. I have an earthly father. All of us have earthly fathers. And earthly fathers are there. And earthly fathers are there. They're special. Of all the men in the world, my father was my father, Aaron F. Parsons. He was my father. Of all the men in the world, wonderful men, maybe, but none of them were my father. My father is my father. His father stands out. God the Father is to be understood as my father, and he stands out in all of creation. He stands out. He's my father, very personal, family, fruitful, fruitfulness, family in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, or if you would please, over to God. God might do it all. Don't do that part. Go back. You're not even going to do that. Go back over to Genesis, and you don't have to turn there, in Exodus. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Moses, and the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, because they want to know, the Israelites, the Egyptians, I want to know, having all their gods, and Moses certainly knew of them. Moses, all the gods of Egypt are there. And when I go and represent you, who do I say you are? Which God are you? And he said to say this to them, I am who I am. I always am who I am. Tell them that. I am who I am. Now, keeping that in mind, as they're going to Egypt, and they're doing that. So therefore, they're to understand that God is God in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to go and honor his wonderful person in a wonderful way. And so in the process, so when we come now to Moses and the Exodus, what is it? The Egyptians have been loaded with God, have God all over in their heart and head. The Egyptians have lived 430 years. 430 years among all the gods, the Egyptian gods, just going down the Nile River in Luxor, and you look at all the cities going down the Nile River into the Mediterranean as you go down the Nile and hear the gods, gods everywhere, gods, all kinds of gods. They knew gods. They didn't know God. So at Mount Sinai, God introduced himself to them. And he made it very clear, because of the way they approached it. They wanted to go. All that you say God will do, will do. No, they couldn't do. They should have just taken the wonderful promise that God, chapter 19, 4, 5, and 6, that God would raise them up to be the special nation of all the nations. They would enjoy the privilege of God introducing himself to all of the world nations by way of Israel, which is going to happen in the future. And here is Israel. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so when they went to Mount Sinai, they have all of these gods. And Moses and God is going to go and introduce himself to them. And he's going to let them know. That's why you have the book of Exodus and the commandments, first four commandments, as you go down, first four commandments, are all about God. God, to have no image, no likeness of anything you can see, touch, taste, smell. Anything created, anything you can see. I do it. Don't make anything like me. That's why I tried to say in the beginning to remind ourselves. God is unique. He's one essence, nature, being. And yet in the same moment, he is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is the Spirit of God, three identities, persons. He's all of that at once. Don't make anything like me. I'm the Creator. I'm the Savior in a most wonderful way. So now, and they were to learn that, Exodus. in a wonderful way. And so when you come to the fifth, Exodus 5:12, and that, God says that you want to honor me as who I am. And the bridge to get to me, to know me rightly, is through the father and mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, honor them. And that's what we're to do, honor thy father and thy mother. And we want to do so. Why? Because that's how we came into the world. We didn't come into some funny way into the world. We aren't involved by evolution. We aren't involved by any kind of weird sexual things. Two men, two women, it is not so. We had a mother and a father. That's what you have to have. And they may not be, whatever. That isn't the point. The point is, you need to understand where you came from. My father sent me by way of my mother into the world. That's how I came. I belong to Adam. I belong to God who created Adam. I belong to God who created Adam to be in his likeness, and thus I'm in his likeness, soul and spirit, image and likeness, to know him, to honor him. I'm not a squirrel. I'm not a mouse. I'm a person to know him. I'm unique to know him. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so Moses, what are you going to do? Honor your mother and father. And if you don't do that, how do you think, who are you? Questions, the age-old, wonderful questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Why am I here? What is it all about? They needed answers. Why am I here? Why am I, et cetera. And I need to understand God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, has created me to know him. My human parents brought me into the world, and they're the source of my life, to enjoy my physical life, in order to enjoy what? That I might come to know him. So when a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they're born again. And God is the Creator. What for? To know him as the Father. As I know my father and mother, follow that all the way to Exodus 20, all the way. If I cross the bridge, there you are. You're the source. You're the origin. You're the source of all that the origin. You make you make it all happen, God, in your wonderful way. So therefore, as we come to you, God, we're to know you as our Father. My Father, you're the Father. My Father is part of my old nature, and he died the same as I will. But he and I pointed to what? To you, God. You're the Father. All the rest of it disappears. It'll all come to pass as the flower of the field is gone. My body's gone. The body goes back to dust as it came from, where it came from. But it isn't. That's my body. I belong to you, God. I belong to you. You're the Creator. How am I understand you as the Creator? You're my Father. You're the Creator and the Savior. You're my Father again. You're my Father. I need to understand. I'm not to have some awesome relationship that you're some way out God omnipotent as you are. And I'm just a nothing and so I bow down and disappear. No. I'm to be able to enjoy as a human being because you created me to know me, as my Father, not to, as my God, absolutely, but in particular, my Father. Christ died on the cross. The Father sent the Son. Father sent the Son. So when I believe in the Son, as we read, where is the Son going to take me? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Where are you going to take me, Lord? To the Father. That's why the Father sent the Son. To know what? The Father. To know the Father by way of the Son. To know the Father. That's what's so important. To know God in a wonderful, intimate way. To know him as Father. The Old Testament doesn't see that too much, as we're going to see in the process of it. So God, here we are looking at the realities of life as they're there, and God, as we get down the corridor of time. So go with me, please, over, if you would, to Isaiah 64. Well, yeah, 64, or maybe 63 also. Isaiah, if we can, in picking up, please. Isaiah 63, going to slide over directly so you see it. Picking up, Israel as a nation, Exodus 20. They came before God at Mount Sinai, and they, like the gods of Egypt, the Egyptians worshiped the gods of Egypt. That's what they did. What are we doing at Mount Sinai? We're Israelites. We've been 400 years worshiping, watching the people worship gods. So what are we going to do? We're going to worship the God. Whoever you are, God, we're going to worship you at Mount Sinai. And God said, no, it's not that way. It's not that way. You need to know. You need to know my awesome person in a most wonderful way. And you're going to go and worship me in spirit and in truth. You're going to know me in a personal way. Not like the gods of Egypt. We don't know the gods of Egypt. The gods of Egypt are there. But the gods of Egypt never talk to us. We make images so that we can, like Exodus, Ezekiel chapter 14 and 3 and 7, we make the images. We made the images to worship. We worship them because there are no gods to speak to us. But you want like that. No, that is not what you want. That's what world people do with religion. I don't want religion. The Bible's against religion. It wants rightness, a relationship to God, to know him, to honor God who made us in his image and likeness, to know him as Father. My Father pointed to him. I point to him. You and I point to him. It isn't about us. It's about him. He's the Father of glory. Now, keeping that in mind, so in Isaiah 63, picking up, please, over in verse 60. Remember now, Israel didn't, I didn't mean to, hope I didn't lose that. Israel didn't know God as Father at Exodus 20. They were then at their standing because they were used to the Egyptians. They were used to the background, and that's how they did. They had no sense of a personal God. They didn't have it. They're going to have it, but they didn't have it, and they needed to have it. Abraham had it. Moses had it. They had it. They, Israel as a nation, did not enjoy that. So therefore, verse 16, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Israel, no, here we are in Isaiah's day. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. But you won't find father very much in the Old Testament, because they weren't understanding him as father. They just didn't understand him. They knew he was God, but they didn't understand the relationship. Over to Isaiah 64, next door. Isaiah chapter 64. And you will notice, if I can, go straight down to verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now in contrast, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Verse 6, be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people, all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness in Zion. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. There's nothing, God, that we have. It's all judgment. Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity. We end up with nothing. But there's no question, God, you're our Father, even though it isn't hardly ever said and ever understood. Thou art the Father in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, back over to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, and chapter 1, and you will note, if I can, God, verse 1, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God. Okay. Verse 14. The Word, which was God, was made flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what God did. God sent his Son to die on the cross. To die on the cross. So what? That we could know God the Father. God. In knowing God the Father, you know God the Son, and you know God the Holy Spirit. You're exercising God's unique oneness, his nature, his essence, his being, God in his totality, his awesome person. I am honoring, we are honoring God's with some measure of intelligence, we're honoring God who has given us the information to honor him. Therefore, verse 18, the Word became flesh. What for? No man has seen God at any time. God's the invisible God. Always we're in his presence. The only begotten the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared, explained him, he makes him known in his most wonderful, wonderful way. God makes himself known in a most awesome, awesome way to understand his person in a way, and God does that in Christ. So we look at the Lord Jesus Christ to discover a wonderful understanding of God the Father. In understanding the Son, we understand the Father. That's what it's for. We're not just to know the Son, not just to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's to know God the Father, who is Jesus Christ our Savior. God and I and my Father are one. We're one. Now, hang on. Over again. John in chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, picking up, if I may, going over again, verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ explains God the Father, and he has a relationship That he keeps telling you that I'm here to represent the Father. The Father sent the Son to know, for us to know him. So therefore, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. The Father and the Son are telling you the truth. Verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me, you don't know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. I and my Father are one. You would have known, but you don't know. Over verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught them in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come for his crucifixion. Sliding down to verse 26. Chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say, and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Verse 27, they understood not, N-O-T, that he spake to them of the Father. They didn't understand. They just didn't understand. They were locked in, like the Egyptians of old, like the Israelites of old in Egypt. They were locked into the world system of religion. Gods are somewhere, whatever they are, and we're down here doing what we do, what we do. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as you know. And you'll pick up it, please. Chapter 6, excuse me. John chapter 6, just to say it. John chapter 14. Verse 6, 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And remember our Lord Jesus said, if you don't know me, you don't know my Father. Apart from me, you can't possibly know my Father. Now, keep that in mind, if you would. So here's John, sliding down. Remember, you know all this without reading it. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him, and have seen him. And then Philip said, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has also seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. God's unique. I was trying to help you in the beginning. His nature, his essence, his being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How are we supposed to deal with you, God? We're supposed to know you in your totality as Father. That's why the Spirit of God doesn't talk about himself. The Son of God, doesn't he? The Son of John chapter 16. You're right there, go next door. John chapter 16, if I can. And you'll read it. Verse 16:23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. A unique, personal relationship to God in a personal way. And back over to chapter 14. We're to know the Father in a very personal way, as my Father. That's legit. That's legit, and we aren't talking about a human father. Now, us humans, man, I wouldn't trust us humans for beans, for nothing. I wouldn't trust them. I'd trust God. Therefore, chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can, in going over to verse 20. And that day, You shall know. What am I supposed to know when I, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when we get saved, when God saved the believers, the apostles. Chapter 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And if I'm in you, the Father has to be in you. Therefore, you go down, verse again, in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Father, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode with him. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you had to receive, as you know, John 8, you had to receive the Spirit of God. As you just read, you have to receive the Father, God in his essence, nature, being. You have to receive God, not in pieces, not in parts, God in his magnificence. That's what you're doing. And all of it in your heart is telling you how to work it out, to enjoy it, the relationship. As we shared this in the Sunday school, you're in his presence. You can't be more in his presence. You just have to have the relationship that makes you understand it. So therefore, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, our physical birth helps us to know our human Father. Now, you didn't know when you were born into the world. Most of the time, you come to know your father and mother. The little baby doesn't know father or mother. No, I just know. Just they got to be born psychologically and all that. And in the process, they get it. And they know. When you're born again, you know God the Father. When you're born physically, you know, you come to know your father and mother. When you're born spiritually, you come to know God the Father in a unique and wonderful, wonderful way, as a son of God, as a child of God, in a wonderful, wonderful way. And it's all wonderful, wonderful work to work out in all the way that it does. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, what are we going to do? We're going to understand. Over, if you would please, to Matthew and chapter 5. And in Matthew and chapter 5, and you pick up if I can, chapter 5, and in the, remember the gospel, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 has the Father over and over. It's all about the Father, the relationship to the Father. And so, among other things, so when we come to chapter 5 of Matthew, if I can, verse 45, in that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. Verse 44, and if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do that? In other words, the world does what it does. But, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, whole, complete, lacking nothing. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And we shared that with like holiness. How can it be, Father, that I can be like you? Because the Father in the Son died on the cross and made it possible for us to be, what? Sons in the Son. And as sons, you would have the life of the Father. I have the life of my Father. When you get saved, I have the life of God in Christ. Now, put that together quickly. Or if I can, Got the idea? You're getting it. While you're right here, chapter 6, all over the place. Chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Don't follow the system like the Egyptians, like the Pharisees. Don't do that. Don't do that. Your Father knoweth. Back over to chapter 6, verse 32. Remember, I'll read it because it's so important. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, worry, anxiety, divided up in your mind. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or whether shall we clothe? In other words, how are we going to get through the week, the next week? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God and your wonderful grace. Now, over if you would please to tie it. Over to the book of Galatians. Galatians and in chapter 4. And here we have in Galatians chapter 4, in the light of God's wonderful everything, God is going to be to us. His power, his love, his will, his wisdom. Chapter 4, Galatians, and picking up to tie it in the light of what we did. You have a relationship to God, to know him as my Father. If you start talking to him like a father, and you let God's word get to your heart, you're going to think of him understandably, correctly. You're going to understand and correctly understand he's your Father. He's not just my God. He's my Father. He's my Father. Galatians chapter 4. Sliding down again in the light of time. Verse 6. Because you are sons. 4:6 Galatians. Because you are sons. Sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, present tense, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew and Chaldean, and Father, Greek. Abba, Father. So what is the Spirit of God's going to do? The Lord Jesus Christ, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to what? To bring us to Christ, by way of Christ, the Son, to the Father. By way of Christ, the Spirit of God is going to honor the saving work of Christ, your Savior, if you believe. And God's going to take, the Spirit of God's going to bring us where? Where is Christ going to bring us? To the Father. Where are you going to bring us? To the Father. How? As sons. As sons. Intimate. Family. Your Father knoweth what you need before you ask him. And when you were little, the parents of Father know, using father, mother, they know. They know what to do. They know when you need milk, when they need food. They know what you need. We don't know it. They understand the news. They hear all the different problems in the world. They try to go to work and school, do whatever they do. The child doesn't know. The child just enjoys the father's taking care of the business. So therefore, Abba, Father, present tense, the Spirit of God says it. Now you know, tie it together. You know it. Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you pick up the thought in chapter 8. In Romans verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. No, you didn't get into that. We didn't get into some system of slavery. Again, we're set free. Again, to be it's a bondage again to fear. But you have received. You already have it. Not you're going to get it. You have it. You have received the spirit of adoption. That means the son to be placed as a son, whereby we cry, because you're placed as a son already when you came to know the Lord as your Savior. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons or children, in that case, children of God. You belong to the Father. And what are we going to do? This time, when you read in verse 15, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's our turn. The Spirit of God is going to bring us to Christ as a son. And as a, Christ is going to bring us as a son to the Father. And that's what we're going to do. So the Spirit of God is going to do what? Tell us, we're, say, Abba, Father. And now, verse 15, it's our turn to say it. He says it, I understand it, therefore say it. Abba, Father, I'm coming, God, to you in your magnificence as my Father. And we're going to trust you with all our heart. And if you kept reading, and you don't, but kept reading verse 16, 17, I'll read it. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. A wonderful, unique, joint heirs. A unique relationship. He's my Father. Earthly fathers, we all disappear. We're all faulty and fail. God help us all. But our Father, but our us humans point with the bridge, honor thy father and thy mother, to get to where do we come from. We came from you, God. You created us, and you want us to know you in a unique and wonderful way. And so therefore, we're going to go. And you remember the illustration we used, and it's worth doing again. Little girl's coming up the stairs. Father's upstairs in his chair. The bigger girl is going to race the little girl up the stairs. The bigger girl runs up the stairs quickly, and gets to the Father. The little girl goes up each stair one at a time, gets up to the stairs and the top. And the big girl looks at the little girl and says, I have all of the Father. And the little girl runs all the way over to the Father, into his middle of his, as he's sitting there, and she runs into the middle of him. He has all of me. You may have all of him. He has all of me. Yeah, that's what it's all about, to have all of God, my Father. That's how you live your day, a heavenly Father that cares. Said, you know, that I don't want you to anxious. I don't want you worried. I want you to trust me. I'm your Father. And they went, Father, I wish you'd do that. Now the Father said, you know, if I, you know, like John 16, if I went, he said, God said, I have many other things you need to understand, but I'm going to tell you just what I can. You have to understand, you don't know a whole lot. But understand what you can. I have many things to say unto you, but you're not ready to hear them. So why don't you just practice what you know and get to the next thing, one thing at a time, and just enjoy it. Why don't you just enjoy it? Say, God, I can't do that. Then you're a loser. What's the sense of being saved in that sense? What's the sense of knowing him? We want to know him and honor him. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, we're able to say, Father. Father, freely, we're able to say it with full assurance. It isn't because we deserve it. It isn't because we've earned it. We have our earthly fathers because of physical birth. And we're able to know you because of spiritual birth because we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we're able to know you in a unique and wonderful way. So therefore, God, help us and bear with us as we fumble along on planet Earth. God, thanks for loving us. Thanks for caring. Thanks for caring. Underline, you do care, absolutely. So that all our cares are not a concern, because you care. And in our concern, and in our concerns, we find your care. And your care takes care of all our concerns. So why should we worry? We're just going to trust you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.